I still talk about that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. But I go to palm readers and I go there to pray and ask him to guide me with my family problems. And I actually even drink portions of what they gave me. So to make the story short, my sister, I'm so sorry she's not here today. I was hoping she would be here. Sherry, she asked Pastor Vin to pray for me. And through Pastor Vin's prayer, he came to San Jose and had evangelism. And he knows I'm a singer because I sing it for nightclubs. So he asked me to sing. And I sang. But the last sermon that he preached, he was saying, God's knocking at your door. And I started crying so hard. And that day I knew I had to come back to God. And God brought me back. Life goes on, and I have more problems. My husband has been ill for... He was diagnosed since 2001, and he has liver cirrhosis. Has been hard on the family. He has his ups and downs. And 2 years ago, he had to go to Mayo Clinic in Florida. Hopefully they'll give him a liver, but then his smell's going down, so they brought him back. And we have people that come forward to try to help us with liver donors at USC, but nothing came through. And we had to find help back in Vietnam. We send money back home and trying to reserve funds that we don't have, so that if it does happen, we'll bring that person over here and help us give the liver to my husband. We found one about 2-3 months ago. Excited, but I don't know if that's God's will. Because if she comes over, I will have to find a place for her to stay. She will have to stay with us. We'll have to get insurance for her. The surgery is really, really major. She will be over here at least 4 to 6 months. And I'm the only breadwinner in the family. My husband has been disabled. But I leave everything to God. I'm very faithful. I'm not bragging about myself. But with whatever I have, whenever God needs help anywhere, I am there. And I know God will always provide for me. The lady was supposed to come over. We prepared everything. She was supposed to come Friday, and we were expecting her on Saturday. Friday morning, we got a call from Vietnam, said she backed out. So she didn't want to come forward with it. You have never taken care of a sick person. You don't know how hard it is, and you don't know what is in their minds. I know my husband is very weak. And there are so many times that we're struggling, and we don't know. I don't know where to go. I'm asking God for help, and I just fell apart so many times. Last year, when I had an accident on the freeway, went out an accident, God saved me. My health went downhill, totally ran downhill. Even talking to you guys right now, I'm spinning. So I haven't been able to do a lot of work for God. I used to love to sing for God, and I felt so disabled because every time I tried to sing, I got really nauseated and weak. Let's say 3 or 4 weeks ago, something happened in our home, and I cannot deal with it. There are days that I can't breathe because I don't think God abandoned me, but it was so, so hard for me to go through it. I prayed every morning, and I cannot reach her. I feel so claustrophobic. So I called Jessica, and I talked to Jessica. I said, Jessica, I really need your help. Pray with me. She was at a convention or somewhere. She was not in town, so we scheduled for the next morning. We pray together and we cry together. I'm so sorry Jessica is not here today with me. But God have lifted me through that prayer. When I went to work, the nail spa lady, the one that has always been a friend to me, and we always talk together, we always share our feelings. She came to me and she said, "Did your husband find a liver yet?" I said, "No, we tried. My son even tried, and he's not compatible. He has blood type A. I have blood type A. And my other son, he wanted me to help because he's really heavy set." Oh, she said, "I have blood type O. I'll come forward and help you." And it's just something I cannot believe. God is working to help us. That is not the reason why I cry today, but the reason I'm crying is because my family means so much to me, but I feel like I'm losing my husband and my oldest son to God. The spiritual life is not there anymore, and I pray that through this, maybe that God can bring them both back to God. Life here on this earth is so, to me, so temporary. And if God can bring them back to God, like the day that God comes down from the clouds, I want to be able to see them with me in heaven. That's my prayer. Every day I pray, but I don't see it's happening. So, church members, pray with me. I know miracles do happen. Some people don't believe in that, but I pray that God will bring them both to God, because to me, this life here is so temporary. If we can all meet each other in heaven, that is where our home is. There was a song when I was so much in pain, and some mornings I don't even want to wake up. I heard a song that I got a while back, and it just made me cry so hard, and I'm asking for God's strength for me to be able to overcome what I'm going through, and to be able to somehow, through me, that God can show my oldest son and my husband how much God loves them. Because my oldest son, to him, his family is first. But he doesn't want to come to church anymore. He used to, but then he walked away. And he doesn't think that church is not a place where you will be saved. So I'm lifting all my problems to God, and I hope that God will deliver them. And I hope that if this donor come through, and if USC can find that she's a match, and if my husband get through this, I want him to be able to see that God is with him. And through that love, my other son will come back to God as well.
Deep is the river that I have to cross, heavy the weight on my shoulder. I have discovered how great is the cost. All of our love are forgiven. I tried, but the current's too strong. It's pulling me under. My strength is gone. Don't leave me stranded. Rescue me, my God, my King. Waters are rising and I cannot breathe. Wrap your arms all around me. Carry me for us, where all of our burdens are lifted. Peace is the land that is waiting for us. Lord, give me faith to believe in. storm, but I'm willing to fight. I'll overcome, I will not die with you by my side.
Sorry, I lose my balance. I have to sit down. I'm so sorry.
Going, if it's all right with you, we'd like to pray with you before Peter comes up. Father in heaven, Lord, God, we thank you because your word says that you are an ever-present help in time of trouble, Lord. Father, you are our refuge when nothing else seems to go right. And Lord, thank you for this Sabbath because it reminds us that you are creator. And Lord, if you are creator, Lord, you know our every need. And Father, we want to lift up to you Go-ing and her home to you right now. Father, you know the heart that she has for her husband and her oldest son, Lord, that they would be able to know the joy of your salvation. Lord, we ask that in a special way you can be with her family. Father, you know that she's looking for a donor for her husband, and we pray that if you see fit, Lord, that you would bring it to be, Father, that nothing can stand in the way. And we know that you always long to heal, Lord, if not in this lifetime, then later on in heaven. And we just pray that healing can be in the future, Lord, and most importantly for spiritual healing with Go-ing and her family and her oldest husband. Lord, we entrust them in your hands, knowing that it's the best place to be, Lord. Thank you, because you long to answer this prayer. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Going, for that. So I'm here to introduce Peter. He's no stranger to us. And I just wanted to really thank Peter because he's always willing to come to our church, even though we're a smaller church, and he's always very eager and excited to willingly come. And so we just wanted to thank him again. Peter is a history teacher at San Gabriel Academy High School. So he has some experience teaching, and I just wanted to invite him up and thank you again for coming, Peter. One more thing. We are also entering into our Fruits of the Spirit series. So we took a vote on that, and a lot of people wanted to learn more about the fruits of the Spirit. So Peter's going to start us off.
Morning, happy Sabbath. I want to thank the dear sister for her testimony, and that life is full of peaks and valleys and failures and successes, but God uses apparent trials and apparent hopelessness to bring hope in our lives. And so we have the assurance that ultimately God's word will be fulfilled if we believe that his word will be fulfilled, and so we can claim those promises in our lives. So I'm glad to be back here again. I should learn to say happy Sabbath in Vietnamese. I will try to learn in the future. For me right now, it's graduation weekend from my school. This senior class was a very challenging class for me. But now that graduation's coming, they're becoming more emotional and more reflective, and a lot of them have come up to me and shared that they actually appreciated me, which was nice to hear. Wish they did it throughout the school year. But better late than never, amen. So today I want to share you a message in line of this because, you know, in graduations we reflect upon our accomplishments and also about the future. And I want to share about failure. I've been in the last few years studying about failure and how in Asian culture, if you fail, it's terrible. It's like death. I don't know about Vietnamese, but for Koreans, it's over. I mean, you're a failure, and you're an outcast. But there's something about failure that can be a blessing. And so today, my fruit of the Spirit that we will study today, one of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. I'm going to go out of sequence, if that's okay. And so we're going to deal with long-suffering through failure. And so the title of my message today is Failing for Success. Failing for Success. And before I begin, let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's presence. Again, I am just a history teacher that can have a hot temper at times, so I need prayer. That I be a blessing, not a curse to you. So again, let's pray for God's word, and let's pray that his Spirit be upon us. Let us pray. Holy Father, our Father God in heaven, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you that although it appears hopeless and it appears that things are failing in our lives, that when we cling to your word, that even though instantaneously or we may not get an answer at that instant, ultimately when we have faith in your word, that your word will be accomplished. And so, Father, today, as we study about failure, and as I share deeply about my failures in my life, may this message be a blessing and not a curse to your people. And Father, I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, all of them. Fill our hearts, Father. Father, we thank you that you desire to give us these attributes of your Spirit in our minds and hearts. So we invite the third person of Godhead. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill our hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is my cousin. His name is Kyung Won. He looks similar to me, doesn't he? A lot of people mistake us as brothers. He lives in Korea. If, by the way, I'm an only child, but if there is a family member that's closest to my brother, it is him. Right now, he lives in the province of Gyeongsangdo in South Korea. And he studied really hard and earned a lot of awards back when he was in elementary and high school. He was a very, very, very smart young man. In fact, my parents said, why don't you get good grades and why don't you get awards like your cousin? His father, my uncle, was a physician, and in his 40s, he passed away. It was a great sad part of our family, sad instance. His dream was to aspire to be a Chinese medicine doctor, you know, Chinese herbal medicine. And he applied to go to Chinese herbal medicine school. At that time, in order for him to practice English, he would write letters to me, handwritten letters in English, to practice his English. I never wrote back. I'm the bad cousin. But he would write to me. And one of the things he wrote to me was him expressing how he found out that he did not go to the school of his dreams of pursuing his career as a Chinese medicine doctor. That was his dream. That was his purpose, he felt. He told me how him and his sister and his mother, my aunt, wept bitterly and cried because they did not accomplish the goal for him that they invested everything for him to do. It looked like he was a failure. Now, how we deal with failure and how God deals with failure is two different things. Notice what God does when we fail. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man. What type of man? So a just man is a good man. Isn't that correct? Yes, it's not an evil man. It's not a criminal. But in the eyes of God, a just man is a forgiven man as though he has never sinned. A just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. In other words, the Bible says those that have a relationship with God, those that are forgiven by God, when they fall and when they fail, they get up. Failure is not the end all or be all. In fact, why does God permit us to fail? Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. The Bible says, but not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Tribulations are tests. In some tests we fail. Like some students fail my test. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. So these tests lead us to an experience that worketh patience and hope. Because when things are hopeless, when everything we do fails, we have only one hope to go, which is Jesus. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So God designs failure and trials and tribulations so that we can now come to the only source of success, which is God Himself, and the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is given to us in our hearts, and the love of God fills us. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And today, I'm going to deal with long-suffering, because long-suffering deals with tribulation and how we deal with failure. And so, when we fail, and we believe God, and when things don't go our own way, and we have tests, and we have trials, and we believe God, God is wanting to enter us into experience where we learn to come and rely upon Him, and the fruit of that experience is that we develop patience and long-suffering. You see, when you plant a tree, it's a process, isn't that correct? The plant has various seasons it has to deal with. It has to deal with pests. It has to deal with outside exterior experiences. It has to deal with all these environmental situations. But when it bears fruit, it is based upon the experience of those trials. Is that correct? And so likewise, when we go through trials and when we fail, God is wanting to develop us a fruit through these experiences. And so, what is one biblical character that failed miserably? You know, these last year or so, I've been studying about the biblical heroes. You know, when we read the Bible and we look at Moses and we look at Elijah and we look at Paul and we look at Abraham, we look at them as almost like superheroes. Like, wow, they have something more extraordinary than myself. Wow, they did miracles. Wow, they talked to God face to face. But do you know that when you study them carefully, that they failed miserably? That there were great failures in their lives, even more so failures than you and I have committed. Yet, God still brought them back in because they rose up again and they got up from their failures. How did they get up? Jesus stretches his hand and we have to grab his hand and he offers his hand to raise us up. That's how we get up. And so there is a biblical hero. That's my namesake. His name is Peter. Peter's preaching about Peter today. And so Peter, you know him, he's a loudmouth. And you know when Jesus is about to be in the process of his final phase of ministry, which is the cross, he told his disciples repeatedly that he is not going to restore a political restoration of the Jewish kingdom. He is going to die a death of sinners. And Peter said, even if you die, I will die with you. I'm going to ride or die with you, as young people say. That's a dumb saying, by the way. He says, I'm going to be down with you at the end. No matter what happens, I will die with you. And then when that crisis came, when that point of the moment of truth came, we know what happened. Peter was interviewed by a little girl saying, hey, I know you. You're one of the disciples. And Peter, to a little girl, not to a Roman centurion, not to a Pharisee, a priest, but to a little girl. And now for a man, you know, to like be weak in the little girl is very weak. Is that correct? Now, if it's like some big, strong guy with a spear or a sword, like a Roman centurion, maybe there was an excuse, but this is a little girl. He denied Jesus three times. We know the story. In Matthew 26:75, what happened with Peter? And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Imagine the disappointment. Imagine being the ultimate failure. Here you're serving Jesus, who is God, the Son of God on earth, and ministering to save humanity, and yet you fail him when he needed him, when he needed you the most. Have you been in a Christian experience where you felt like you failed God? Have you been in an experience where you were in a spiritual high? Maybe you went to a Can You Hear Me Now? Or a GYC? Or SWYC? You gave your heart to God. You promised that you would change your life. And then you come down the mountain. And all of a sudden you fail your commitment. And you feel like you're not good enough for God anymore. But God permits failure so that we don't depend upon our own selves, but to depend on him. In fact, what did failure do for Peter? Notice what Inspiration says. Review and Herald, December 16, 1902. There are some lessons that are never learned only through failure. Peter was a better man after his fall. The Lord permits his children to fall, and then if they repent of their wrongdoing, he helps them to stand up on vantage ground. As fire purifies gold, so Christ purifies his people by temptation and trial. If the heart has not been hardened by a disregard of great light, the temptation and fall will bring repentance, humble, fervent prayer will save the soul from death, and confession and restitution will hide a multitude of sins. You know what the difference between Peter and Judas was? Because Judas also failed Jesus, did he not? Both Peter and Judas betrayed Jesus. Is that correct? But the difference between Peter and Judas is that Peter knew he failed, but then he knew that he could go to God to be forgiven. Judas thought he was the ultimate failure, and he could not see past his failure, and he felt so hopeless, not casting his faith upon God, and he killed himself. That's the two choices we have when we fail. And so, what did Peter experience when he went through failure? You see, a lot of the times, a song or a writing of a person is based upon personal experience. And I believe 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 is connected to an experience that Peter went through by betraying Jesus. In fact, he writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, "Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins." You see, when Peter failed, and betrayed Jesus thrice, he came back to Jesus. He did not run away from Jesus, but he came back to Jesus. And love covered the multitude of sins. Now, how many of you have betrayed Jesus personally like Peter did? None of us. Well, we may have in our own sphere. But in a personal level, we did not betray like Peter had. Yet, Jesus forgave and covered the multitude of sins. And because Peter realized he was forgiven, and because his transgression is now covered by the blood of Jesus, what is the message that he preached after Jesus went to heaven? The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." He continues on and says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." In other words, the Bible tells us in Peter's sermon, when he received the Holy Spirit, when he understood that he failed, and he came back to God, his message was repent. You know what repentance, another word for repent is? It's to turn away from your direction. Why do you turn away from your direction? Because God is willing to forgive you. In other words, Peter was preaching a message that God is willing to forgive, and not only to forgive, but to blot out or to forget your sins. He was preaching a message called justification by faith, because he experienced it in his life. And so, because Peter was forgiven of a great betrayal from Jesus, he now preaches a message with power to repent. Because the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Jesus is willing to forgive and forget your sins. Come and experience his love. When you're hopeless, child, when you fail, come back to Jesus, because Jesus will raise you up. And because Peter preached his message, the Bible says that 3,000 were baptized in one day of this message. Why? Peter personally experienced failure. He experienced letting down Jesus, but he personally experienced forgiving, and by preaching this message, it was a personal testimony, and that touched the heart. Jesus may lead you to failure so that you could have a testimony to another person to bring them to Jesus. And so, how was Peter's courage after he failed? Remember, Peter was a coward. He lied to a little girl. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now the coward Peter became bold. The failure became a success, because he realized that in of himself, he is a failure. You see, another thing about failure and failure's design for our lives is that we all have a problem. Wherever I travel, every nationality has this problem. It's called pride. That's the human condition of sin. And God allows us to fail so that we can lay our pride or glory to the dust. And as we are obliterated of our egos, then Jesus then recreates us and reconstitutes us to his image. Humble yourselves in the eyes of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And God designs failure so that we could be humbled, and it's a painful process. There's another alternative. We can humble ourselves day by day, realizing, reminding ourselves we're nothing in the eyes of God. but yet God still loves us. Or we could have a fat, big ego saying, look at me, I'm so great, I have these degrees, I have a nice paying job, I have this nice car, look at me, I'm great, look at me on social media, I'm taking selfies of these vacation spots, and I'm so great. I'm not saying selfies bad or anything, but I'm just saying. And then God will humble you. What was the purpose of God showing all of these things? Notice the call for the courage, page 368, paragraph 2 states, about why the Bible is so detailed about the failures of people. The pen of inspiration, true to its task, tells us of the sins that overcame Noah, Lot, Moses, Abraham, David, and Solomon, and even Elijah's strong spirit sank under temptation during his fearful trial. In fact, Elijah wanted to commit suicide. Jonah's disobedience and Israel's idolatry are faithfully recorded. Peter's denial of Christ, the sharp contention of Paul and Barnabas, the failings and infirmities of the prophets and apostles are all laid bare. There before us lie the lives of the believers with all their faults and follies, which are intended as a lesson to all the generations following them. If they had been without Phobos, they would have been more than human, and our sinful natures would despair for ever reaching such a point of excellence. But seeing where they struggled and fell, where they took heart again and conquered through the grace of God, we are encouraged and led to press over the obstacles that degenerate nature places in our way. So when we fail, know this, success is in the horizon if you grab hold of Jesus. And so, what happens if we fall into sin? What happens if we fail? What happens if we think that we committed the unpardonable sin? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. The condition is, God's ideal is that we do not sin. But there's also an insurance policy. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, how many of you intentionally want to go in a car accident? Such a headache, isn't it? I've been on several. All the insurance and all the paperwork and all the time and all that. It's such a nuisance. But we're thankful for that insurance because it pays for all the damages. Is that correct? Likewise, it's not ideal for us to sin. But if we do sin, there is an insurance policy. And if we fail in our spiritual walk, there is an insurance policy who is Jesus Christ. Notice what inspiration says in Steps to Christ. Page 64, paragraph 1. There are those who have known the pardoning love of Christ and who really desire to be the children of God, yet they realize that their character is imperfect, their life faulty, and they are ready to doubt whether their hearts have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. To such, I would say, do not draw back in despair. We shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes, but we are not to be discouraged. Even if we are overcome by the enemy, we are not cast off, not forsaken, rejected of God. No, Christ is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He desires to restore you to himself, to see his own purity and holiness reflected in you. And if you will but yield yourself to him, he that hath begun a good work in you will carry it forward to the day of Jesus Christ. Pray more fervently, believe more fully. As we come and distrust our own power, let us trust the power of Redeemer, and we shall praise him who is the health of our continence. So if you fall into sin, if you made a mistake, if you feel like you're a failure, know this. Jesus' whole purpose is coming to the cross was to make us from failures to successes, and Jesus has come. In fact, you know what the unpardonable sin is? The unpardonable sin is that when you make your final decision and nothing of God's love will change your mind. That's the unpardonable sin. That's rejecting the Holy Spirit. But if you have a feeling of repentance, if you're feeling of guilt, know this, that's still God working in your life so you can come to God. If you fail, you may be ashamed of your parents if you fail. You may be ashamed of your church family if you fail. But you can always come to God Himself, the Creator and King of the universe. You have open access to Him. And if you fail, you can come to Him openly, showing all your failures to Him. And Jesus says, come, I will cover your mistakes and cover your failures and I will fix you up. We are far more better with God. And we rely more upon God. We still rely upon the expectations of people. We're so concerned what other people think of us, but yet God Himself, when we fail, when God sees our deeds and our actions and our hearts, He says, come, I still love you. Come, I want to fix you up. Now I'm going to share with you my experience of failure. You see, this is difficult to talk about my failures, but the Lord has been working in my life that my failures can also be a testimony and encouragement to you here today. And so, that is me right there, the tall guy right there. I graduated from Pacific Union College, class of 98. I graduated with a 3.71 GPA. I graduated cum laude. I could have been a magna cum laude, but I got a C in some biology class, and I hate science. I studied really hard. I pulled all-nighters. I graduated with a degree in history and government. And my purpose was to go to law school. And I got accepted to Southwestern Law School here on Wilshire Boulevard in 1998 to begin the 1999 year in law school. And so here's the sequence. Southwestern's right here off Wilshire. Southwestern is known at that time to have graduated Marshall Clark, the district attorney for the O.J. Simpson trial, and Christopher Darden taught them, who is also the assistant district attorney of the O.J. Simpson trial. They lost, by the way, so it's not a very good reputation for them. Law school for losers, I guess. I should have said that. Sorry. And so I entered law school at Southwestern University, and it's a little like my brain shut down. You see, I was also kind of discouraged because I was in the waiting list for USC Law School. And I was waiting on hoping that I would get into USC. USC is in the top tier. Southwestern was in the fourth tier. And then finally, I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and USC had no more spots for me. And so I could not get into USC, and I was bitterly disappointed. And while I was at Southwestern, it was just so, so, so terrible. You had professors that were yelling at you and very, very adversarial. You had law school students so competitive that they would rip out pages from books so that you don't get the sources. And it was a dog-eat-dog world because ranking is so important. And I said, I don't want to go to this school. Who cares, this fourth-tier school? And so before the semester was over, I withdrew. And after I withdrew, I took the LSAT, which is the acceptance for law school, the law school exam, to get accepted again the second time. And after the second time, I got admitted to what's called Pepperdine University Law School. Better law school. Out Malibu. Very Republican. I'm sure there are a lot of Trump supporters there right there. All in Malibu. I'm not trying to be political, by the way. Now, that law school is known to be very much into the Republican Party. Ronald Reagan's connected heavily to the law school. You had Kenneth Starr, that ultimately became the dean. Kenneth Starr was the independent counsel or the investigator that prosecuted President Bill Clinton. He became the dean of this law school and whatnot. And I entered this law school with greater, greater pride because, yeah, I went to a better law school in Malibu, Pepperdine, brand name. And so my grandfather and my parents and, you know, Korean family members, I don't know about Vietnamese family members, but Korean family members, when they see their child doing well, what do? They announce it to the whole world how great they are. That, oh, my child's going to law school. Oh, he's going to make a lot of money. Oh, he's so great. Publishing it all around the world. You see, I always did well in college. But my law school experience, even the second time, it seemed like my brain shut down. It felt like I was dumb. It's like property law. It was just like, I don't understand. This is stupid. Criminal law is all about the bad things people do to each other. Contracts. Now, that was, hated that class. All this about consideration and forbearance and all these, I'm sorry to bore you with these legal terms, it's all coming back to me now. And so I because my parents invested so much, and because I invested so much that I went through this experience that I bore through the whole year at Pepperdine University. I was in the bottom 25% of my class. Very embarrassing. And finally, after the first year, the minimum threshold of passing is a 70%. I was 68%. Lowest grade I ever got in my academic career. Very embarrassing, especially for me. From an A student to a D plus student. Very humble. And so, I got a letter from Pepperdine saying, you are not going to be let back in for your second year. In other words, I failed. Lost. Very embarrassing. Here's me. I was aiming to be an attorney so that I could sue the people I did not like. When they have their companies and corporations and they become physicians, I was targeting these people. I had a little list in my mind saying, oh, this person's a jerk, I'm going to get them. And now, the embarrassment of not accomplishing my academic goal. And from that point on, my other dream was to own a record label. And I became an intern at Universal Records, the biggest record label in the world. Why? Because there was a contact that I made back at PUC. He is a man that went to PUC, and he was the director at that time of urban promotions for Universal Records. And so I was now learning the music industry and how it operates as a lowly intern. And at that time, we were promoting a little-known rapper from New Orleans. He was 14-year-old. He was from the Cash Money Millionaires. His name was Lil Wayne. I think he's very famous now. And at that time, I was in the music industry, and we were trying to revive. This is me with this rapper named Warren G. He is the brother of Dr. Dre, and we were trying to revive his career because he had two hit albums in his first album, but the second and third album, it was not going well, and so we were trying to revive his career, and here's me with him at that time in that picture at BET Studios. We didn't have very much digital cameras back then. We just had film cameras back then. So we didn't take as many pictures like we do today. So there's not much documentation. Nowadays, you could document everything. You don't even need an angels to record all the things in the book. We do it for ourselves in social media. And so my boss said this, that listen, I'm trying to open up a paid position for you. I'm going to try to get you this position. Listen, you have so much knowledge in the music industry. You're most talented. You need to be aggressive. You need to make connection. I'm going to try to get this position for you, that position for you. But these promises failed. And in that September 11th, when 9/11 happened, the economy crashed, and so did the music industry, and that door shut down. Failure. Then my dad came up to me and said, son, you know, a profession that's noble that I once wanted to be was a teacher. And I thought to myself, hey, I like history, but I don't want to teach. You see, there are two things I said that I would never want to be. I said I do not want to be a teacher, and I never wanted to be a pastor. Never. Ever. Ever. No. And so I became a teacher and got my master's in history. And then I worked at Burbank Unified School District for a couple years, but then I lost that position when tenure happened. I became another failure again. And then I went into self-supporting ministry, started preaching the Word of God. I thought I could make money by preaching on my own. I could be like a Dwayne Lennon. Or Jeremiah Davis. And at times it was good, and also I was waiting for certain self-supporting ministries to have big-time donors so that they could hire me, sort of like a new Amazing Facts 2.0. But all of that did not happen, and all those doors shut out. And now here's me, I can't even make a good, decent living for myself. And I'm in my mid-30s. Failure. Not ministry-wise, but financially. Failure. And so, my mother said this, you know, you're getting up there in age, it's time that you find someone to, you know, you need to find a wife in order to support. You know, another failure was I tried to pursue a girl for 7 years and failed at that. No career drama, anything for that one. So. And so, my mother said, why don't you swallow your pride, go to San Diego Academy, and ask for a job. So I went. I went to St. Hugo Academy and met with Principal Paul Negrete and, you know, just let him know about, you know, my degree. I have a degree. I have 2 master's degrees. I have a teaching credential. I have experience, and I have a history degree and whatnot and so forth, and a master's in history, 1 year of law school. And he said that there's no position possible, but we can have you as a substitute. So I substitute taught for a year. And then on the intervening time, another position opened, which was a youth pastor at Cerritos Korean. And that's one position. I would never be a pastor. Even when I was preaching, I said I would never be a pastor. And God led me to be a pastor for a year and a half, which is a great blessing. And then as I was pastoring and substitute teaching, a position opened up. And God led me to San Diego Academy as a teacher. It's my 3rd year teaching. The reason I believe God permitted me to fail law school, the reason why I believe that God literally shut my brain down in law school, was because that was not His calling for my life of being an attorney. It was my desire. And God wanted me to be something better. And so when I became a teacher at St. Gibbo Academy, although there are trials and challenges, ups and downs, I know this, at the end of the day, I know I'm doing something that I enjoy and something that I have a passion for. You see, God's way is much better than our way. And so if you fail, know this, that God wants to lead you to something. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 37, 23, and 24, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So when you fall, when you fail, grab the hand of Jesus through prayer, and he will lift you up. You see, throughout the Bible, we have very much testimonies, as I bring some final points, very much testimonies, very many testimonies of people that appeared to fail. Moses was an apparent failure because he lost the position of the prince of Egypt. Remember, he killed a man? But God sent him to the wilderness, and from that wilderness point, he came back to deliver his people. Samson was an apparent failure. He was prophesied to deliver his people, but when he was blind, when he lost his strength, and when he was weak, and he was ridiculed by the enemies, that's when God used him as a success, as a champion of Israel in the midst of his failure. Jesus himself was seen as an apparent failure. Remember, all his disciples forsook him. All his followers turned against him. And when he was on the cross, even he thought he let the Father down. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It appeared that Jesus was a failure, but Jesus was victorious in the midst of apparent failure. The Adventist movement in 1844 appeared to be a failure, the great disappointment. All you guys, time said, Jesus is coming. You guys are fanatics. You guys are weird. And it appeared that the Advent movement was a failure. And then in the last days, when all of the nations of the earth will hate Adventists and God's people for God's name's sake and our property taken away, it appears the church will be about to fall. It appears that the church will be a failure, but then in the midst of that apparent failure is one who will have a greatest success. Failure can be a victory if we come. Prophets and Kings, page 595, paragraph 1. The way of the world is to begin with pomp and boastings. God's way is to make the day of small things the beginning of the glorious triumph of truth and righteousness. Sometimes he trains his workers by bringing to them disappointment and apparent failure. It is his purpose that they should learn to master difficulties. And so, if you're going through trial and failure, know this. The Bible says in Psalm 73, verse 36, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is my strength and my heart and my portion forever. Even though our own plans fail, even though our own abilities fail us, even though our own emotions fail us, God is our strength and God will lift us up. You see, that faith and belief allowed the early church to be victorious in the midst of apparent failure. You see, the early church was the enemy of the Roman Empire. The early church was persecuted. The disciples and the apostles were being executed and martyred. It appeared that those that believed in Jesus were thrown into the dens of Roman gladiators and in the midst of lions in the Colosseum. But here's the attitude in the midst of apparent failure. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul writes, but we have a treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Do you feel like you're being destroyed by the currents of life here today, brothers and sisters? Do you feel like life is putting you down, that it feels like you are in the breaking point? Know this, in the midst of that failure, in the midst of that situation, God is trying to grab this hold of your hand to lift you out of that miry situation. Amen. You see, this is the will of God in our lives. You see, we talk about the will of God. We pray for the will of God. Be careful when we pray about the will of God. You see, God's will is this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. The will of God is to have all men saved to the knowledge of his truth. So, if God and you are in the dialogue of praying, and you pray to God, thy will be done, and you want to really get that job, and you don't get that job, and you pray for God's will, and you really want to enter that school, but you really got rejected from that school, that was your lifelong dream and purpose, and that door shuts down, know this, it's for your salvation.
Amen.
I truly believe God closed the door of my mind at law school for my own salvation. Because if I was an attorney, you know what I do? I have a problem with pride. I had a hip-hop pride persona in my heart. That's the natural Peter. But it's a humbling thing to go to a classroom every day to deal with students. It's a humbling thing to travel around and preaching the Word of God. It's a humbling thing not to have your finances as successful as people that you graduated with in college and university. But you know, God saw favor with me in the sense that he caused me to fail so that I could succeed in the walk with him.
Amen.
And I'm not successful in this walk, in my walk with him, but I am learning through my failures. In closing, my cousin, who failed to get into Chinese medical school, or Chinese medicine school, got accepted to conventional medical school. He graduated near the top of his class. He then became not only a medical doctor, but an MD, PhD. And he is a professor at a medical school in a government medical school in South Korea at this time. But not only that, but my cousin was given the privilege of a fellowship to be a researcher, because my cousin's an oncologist, he researches cancer, so he had the privilege of researching at the Anderson Cancer Institute in Houston, Texas, which is one of the number one cancer institutes in the world. So this failure became a success. But not only this happened just recently, earlier this month, he was given this award by the Korean Society of Clinical Cancer for great work in cancer research. So although it appeared like it was a failure,
You see, in God's eyes, although the Adventist church appears about to fall, appears to be a failure, although it appears that you are to be a failure, know this, God will lift you up. For every Egyptian army coming to destroy us, there's a Red Sea that's willing to be parted in our behalf. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Are we willing to be patient enough to see God's word be accomplished in our lives? God is willing to do more for us, even in the midst of our failures, than we can do for ourselves. You see, this is the thing about God. You see, human beings, like Asian people, I'm sorry, we're all Asian, right? Asian people, if you know how embarrassing it was to fail out of law school? My parents said, hey, don't say that you failed, just say that you quit. In fact, my mom's pretty embarrassed that this is going to be broadcast worldwide, and I'm comfortable with this now. Because I want to share my story of failure so they could give hope to people out there that have failed and are now contemplating suicide because they feel like they're a failure. Because there's success right around the corner. And even though human beings may cast you out as no good, nothing, that you're a failure, know this, God sees us as failures and brings us up to be successes. You see, God's last generation, 144,000, the Bible says that they're named after the tribe of Israel. Reuben was a failure. He's part of the tribes of 144,000. You know what Reuben was? He committed incest. That's pretty bad. Simeon and Levi, they're part of the tribes of 144,000. You know what happened with them? They destroyed the entire city like ISIS does here today. They killed the entire city. A lot of the names in that list of the 144,000, you know what they did? They collaborated to attempt to kill their own brother Joseph. And sold into slavery. But you know what happened in their failures? They came to God.
Amen.
They were forgiven. And now their names in the honor of God's last generation. You see, God is going to have a graduation. In this graduation, the class colors are white. The caps are crowned. And some of the honored class, according to Sister White, says that we'll have red ribbons in the hem of our robes, signifying we're part of that last generation. You see, the last generation is the generation that fails the most. Because we have internet pornography, we have ISIS, we have terrorism, we have Miley Cyrus, we have all these things that go on in our lives. But in the midst of that wickedness, God is going to bring up a generation that will love so much Him that it will vindicate His character. From a generation of failures. And that honored class, which could be you and I, you see, when that happens, when Jesus Himself is going to give our diplomas, you know what we'll do? Like in a graduation, we're going to throw our crowns to the feet of Jesus, just like we throw our caps in the air when we graduate. And God desires us to graduate in the school of Christ in heaven. So the heavenly of heaven. And God's going to have an honored class of failures to be the honored class, which is you and I. You and I, although we're failures, can be successes in the eyes of God. Our Father and God in heaven, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you that although we can be failures, that you lift us up to be successes in your image. As a Father today, there may be someone here today that's struggling with shame of a past sin. There might be someone here today that is ashamed of poor choices. There might be someone today that did not go to the school or the career path that she or he desired to go into. And so, Father, today, I ask that you encourage them here today. And brothers and sisters, as their heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there someone here today who say, Father, today, I need encouragement. Father, here today, I feel hopeless, but I want hope. Father, today, I invite you to lead me. Although it appears in my present condition, it looks hopeless. Father, today, give me the faith and strength necessary to have hope that you will see me through to a better place. If that's your desire to say, Father, today, I feel hopeless, but today I accept hope in you, and I want to prove the spirit of long-suffering in my life. If that's you, I simply ask that you stand for that commitment, for that's your desire. Holy Father, our Father God in heaven, I am standing with my brothers and sisters here today. Father, we are failures. We make poor choices. But today, we are standing that you be in control of our lives, that you teach us through our failures and lead us to a better place. Father, we thank you that even in the midst of our poor choices, that if we come to you and ask for forgiveness, that you will restore us and allow us to become better successes than we can ever imagine. Father, we thank you for the example of Peter, who betrayed you 3 times, and he was a coward, but then he preached boldly, and he converted thousands to your truth, and yet he faced death in his eyes, and yet boldly died for you, crucified upside down. And so, Father, today, may we have hope in you, that through our failures, through your power, through the blood of Jesus, we become successes. This we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.